Welcome to our series, our continuance series. This is our last one. We're going through looking at love and respect, about walking worthy. And we are looking at walking worthy as a married couple. This morning, we're looking at what a woman needs to feel loved in a relationship. Remembering that marriage is all about discovering what the other person needs and how, as a man, how we can fulfill it. It's a lifetime of discovery and it's a lifetime of learning that can be lots of fun along the way. But let's pray, because we're going to be going through some stuff that's probably going to make some people feel a tad uncomfortable, which is always good. We are going to make a bit more reference a little bit later on to the skit that you just saw. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would like to say thank you that we can open your word, that we can learn what it means to unconditionally love our wives. We'd like to say thank you for such a tremendous responsibility, such a tremendous privilege. And Father, Lord, we just want to ask for your help and your guidance that we can do this to the very best of our abilities, Father, whilst we are empowered by your Holy Spirit to do it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this message is for anyone who wants to improve their marriage. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, my marriage is fine, thank you. But you know what? Your marriage may be great. But your marriage could be running at an 8 out of 10 at the moment. And I trust that I'll be able to help and encourage you to be running at a 9 out of 10. Or you could be sitting here too, thinking, if you're a lady here, thinking, what kind of man should I be looking for to date? Well, let me outline some important things that I certainly believe you should be looking for. So we are going and using the resources from the book called Love and Respect, which will be available in the foyer. At the end, back of the church for you to purchase afterwards. The call that Jesus gives to each of us men is to unconditionally love our wife. And as I said last week, husbands, there are things that you're going to find hard to do in unconditionally loving your wife. And this is a key point here. It can only be accomplished by surrendering your will to God on a daily basis and seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so we can do it and do it well. This week we're going to be focusing on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which says this. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And we read a little bit further down in verse 28 to 29. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. If we are to feed and care for our wives, just as Christ cares for his church, our response to her should be not only in words, but in actions. We are created for relationship, firstly to God and then to each other. Now, this relationship should be one where we understand what she needs and be willing to wholeheartedly and unconditionally give to her as Jesus has called us to. That's what the feeding part is about. To be willing to wholeheartedly and unconditionally give her what she needs. Many Christians know about the responsibilities outlined in Ephesians 5. But today I'd like to teach you practically how to live it out on a daily basis. There are many things in life that we like to learn about, things that we have a passion for. But when was the last time, if you're a man here, when was the last time that you actually did a verse search in the Bible to work out and understand what God says about what your responsibilities are? Or the last time that you read a biblically based book in how to understand and how to love and to care for your wife? In fact, when was the last time you have taken the lead in asking your wife to come to a marriage seminar with you? After all, are you not the spiritual leader in the home? See, it seems to me that one of the biggest things that we as men need to learn gets neglected the most. As husbands, we should be the ones to lead in this. Why is it that predominantly the women that read or go to seminars, and they've got to drag their husbands kicking and screaming to going them? When Susie and I run different camps away about how to improve your marriages, you know what? I would say 8 times out of 10, it's the women that come and they enroll. And the ones that pull out are the ones, oh, look, my husband, he's a bit embarrassed, doesn't really kind of want to go, and so I just won't. And what it does is it deflates. It deflates your wife. Because you're telling her right there that, you know what, if the footy is on, you would rush out and go and see it. If the soccer was on, if your favourite TV program was on, or your favourite band's coming to Adelaide to play, you would be there. But you're telling her that your marriage just doesn't cut it as much as those things. Sometimes it even feels like many men feel like they've got it all together in this area. Men, I want to kind of let you in a bit of a secret here. In my pastoral position here at church, I sit and talk to countless amounts of women. Countless amounts of men and women, by the way. But countless amounts of women and wives. And you know what? I sit and I listen as they talk, and I can try help and encourage them, and then hopefully talk to both couples into how to build a relationship. But I kind of want to let you in on some secret women's business. Okay? Some secret women's business. I want to tell you and let you in some of the things that they talked to me about. Things that they wished were improved in their relationship. Because loving your wife is not a matter of loving her in the way that you think she needs, but in loving her in the way that she needs from you and doing it unconditionally. We're going to have a look at the acronym of COUPLE, taken from the book From Love and Respect. So the very first one, C, is closeness. That your wife wants to be close to you. We read in Ephesians 5 verse 31 that a man leaves his mother and father and is joined or cleaved to his wife, and the two are united into one, where they become one flesh. We also find this verse in Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. Now, if you do a bit of a word search and have a look at what does the word cleaved mean in Hebrew, it gives a bit of a further understanding with what it means. It's a verb, and it says to adhere closely or to stick to hold fast, to cling. These verbs tell us that a husband and wife should be clinging closely to each other. Now, like when you glue something together. Men, this is why our wives want and they desire to be close to us. It's built into them. It's natural. They want face-to-face interaction. Because for them, the face-to-face talking time means heart-to-heart time. Talking and sharing about what is happening in each other's worlds. Men, it's not about coming close to her when we want some loving, and that's it. I'd like you to cast your mind back when your relationship was new, when you were dating. A little bit like the skit. Well, actually, the skit was fast forward a little bit. You wanted to spend every waking moment together. And you would rush home from work to see each other, to ring each other a phone. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I've just got home from work. I'm going to shower. I'm going to shave and I'll put on some nice clothes. I'll be there shortly, honey. Oh, good. I'm so looking forward to seeing you. And you go and you just look forward to hanging out. You look forward to the weekends. And the weekends mean late nights because we can't get enough of seeing each other. And then you got married. And in time, like these two people sadly here this morning, responsibility set in. A mortgage, children, a demanding boss. And before long, the relationship looks like more of an arrangement of responsibilities than the loving union it started off like. So, man, how can we communicate closeness to our wives? Do you know what? It's important to hold her hand at home and in public. It's important to hug her often. To be affectionate without sexual intentions. Unfortunately, men, I'll tell you, we fail so bad in this area. We generally kind of like to be close and we like to cuddle up and we like to hold hands when we want something. You know, women just want to be close and to be affectionate without knowing where it's going to end up. Spend time alone so you can focus on each other and laugh together. And I tell you what, it's a tragedy that too many people have let fun and silliness go out of their relationship. Because when you do that, it can become boring in capital letters. We should be having fun. We should be being silly like we were when we started dating. You, underline, men, we should be organising date nights, a picnic, dinner by candlelight, going for a drive, a movie, a walk on the beach, doing things spontaneously and having fun. Men, too many guys just kind of, oh, we're married now, it's too hard, I've got bills. We need to be investing. Make it your priority to spend time with her. Turn off the TV, your computer or phone and give her your undivided attention. Okay. Openness. She wants you to open up to her. It is true that most men talk about the doing and women talk about the feeling. But men, we've shot ourselves in the foot. When we were dating, we were seeking to discover the woman of our dreams. And so we talked about our passions, our aspirations, our past, our future, our childhood, our difficulties, our desires, the things we dream about. We talked about all of those important things. And then when we got married, contentment and complacency set in. But our wives still wanted to talk and share about these things. But we stopped. We started spending more time thinking and planning these things in our own heads. Or sometimes even just talking about them with our mates and leaving our wives out of the loop. The result of this was our wives feel like they are blocked out of the most important things in our lives, communicating in a deep and meaningful way, sharing emotions and opening up to her as her husband and her friend and her lover. Our heart-to-heart conversations that we used to have become factual and statistical dialogues. They crave us to be open, still to share our hopes and our dreams and what happens daily in our lives. And get this, and for us to listen to theirs. This is not just a one-way conversation, because men, there is a distinct difference. Who's got some old-fashioned Christmas lights here? You know, the kind of lights that if you take out one bulb or one little thing, you take that one out, you've got a whole string of 100 here, and you take one out here, these ones work, all the rest don't work. See, our wives are like that string of Christmas lights. Means they're very flashy. No, that's not what I meant. But our wives' emotions and feelings, their thoughts and their sexual desires and their well-being are just like that string of globes. When one globe is removed, it has an impact of all those other globes. And so a thoughtless or selfish husband, if they have this impact on her and hurt her here, it's kind of like taking out that globe and then everything else doesn't work. That's how a woman works. So how can you communicate openness to her? Do you know what? You can tell her how much you love her and what she means to you. You can write notes, cards, send texts, hide them around the house, hide them in her car. One of the good things is get confetti, hide it in her air vents. And when she puts on the blower, it all blows everywhere. And when she rings, you can say, I just want to say I love you. Talk about your day. Ask and listen about her day. Share your feelings. Men, our body language will speak 1,000 words to her. If she is trying to talk to us and we're just facing away, engrossed in what we're doing and not give her that face-to-face time, it's not going to go down well. We need to pray and read the Bible together. We need to be investing in each other. You need to be investing in her and helping her as she walks in her Christian life. You need to give her your full attention, not the leftovers. You initiate deep and meaningful conversations. All right, man, hang in there. We're up to you. Understanding. Don't try and fix her. Just listen. Most men, we love to fix things. We like to give our perspective, our thoughts, and our ways to rectify the problems. No matter how big or small that problem may be, we've got the answer. But guys, there are many times when a woman just wants to talk. And when she talks and discusses things, sometimes, whether it's a good or bad situation, she's going to cry. And that's fine. But we've got this inbuilt desire to fix her. Fellas, I want to tell you a secret. She's not broken. All right? She's not broken. She's just sharing in the way that is natural to her. To talk expressively and thoroughly. Unfortunately, because we feel that there are only so many words permitted to be spoken at any one time or day, we can come across very ungracious and we're just going to go, can you just get to the point? All right. Or we stop listening because we kind of feel that we've got the gist of what they're saying. Do you know, that will kill her. We need to stop and we need to listen. 1 Peter 3:7 highlights some really good things. Is that we must give honour to our wives. That we must treat her with understanding as we live together. She is our equal partner in God's gift of new life. We need to treat her as we should. Get this. So that your prayers would not be hindered. You get that importance there? Men, we need to treat her, we need to honour her, we need to understand her, and that means more than just knowing or giving her her favourite cup of tea or her favourite chocolate bar. It means listening to her fears, her wounds, her wins and defeats, to celebrate and to mourn with her, to walk alongside, which means not walking in front, not walking behind, but walking beside her. To be understanding and treating her and her emotions in a way that says that you genuinely support and care about her. Who she is as a woman, and what she's got to say and communicate is important. The Bible tells me so much so that your prayers will be affected. Peacemaking. She needs to say that you're sorry. One of the hardest things for many of us is to admit fault. To acknowledge that they were wrong and say, I am sorry. Those three words, I am sorry, yield such power. There are many passages in the Bible outlining how powerful our words are and how deadly our tongue can be. In James 3 verse 9 it says, sometimes it, our tongue, praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Our words and the way we speak can be like fire or water. It will either burn or scald the person we are talking to, or it can put out a raging fire. Proverbs 15:1 reflects this. It says, A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And there's going to be times when what we say or how we say things are out of line. But what we do when we recognise it then is vitally important. We can either continue to justify and cover up what we've said, or we can stop the conversation right there and then and say, whatever your wife's name is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've said. I'm sorry for the way that I've said it. I'm sorry, and I'm asking you, please forgive me. Because you know what, men, we have this stupid stuff in our minds and in our lives that sometimes we're just never wrong. And we don't stop and ask for forgiveness. Because men, nobody wants to be living in a house, or worse still, be married to a know-it-all. There's a newsflash here. We're not right all the time. We need to guard our tongue. We need to speak words that express that unconditional love. We need to be controlling our anger. Not closing off from her, but to be open. To be willing to be asked for forgiveness. To grant forgiveness. And to let go of any bitterness and reassure her of your love. Very, very important. Another biggie I'd like to share with you is the L word in couple. And this L word is loyalty. Man, she needs to know that you're committed. Now, most everyone knows that the majority of men are sexually turned on by sight. But as a man, have you ever given it much thought? How your wife must wrestle with that? How deeply it crushes her if you're the type of man who ogles at other women, allowing your eyes to consume her? Or you're making suggestive comments when you're watching TV or a movie or when you're out thinking, oh, how hot is she? You know, when you do that, you are stepping on her air hose. You are killing her from the inside out. How on earth is she ever going to know that you are committed only to her if you have eyes for every other woman that you come across? We are living in a sex-saturated and pornography-filled world that very few women can feel comfortable in. They're being attacked at every angle and how they should look or how they should perform. And husbands, we are either affirming who they are or we are destroying their self-image comment by comment. Let me tell you this. When a man looks in the mirror, he might be a bit fat. He might be a bit skinny. But he's going to look in the mirror and says, naked, I don't look too bad. I know there's a six-pack under there. Or, I'm going to have a six-pack one day. I'm not too bad. And they'll walk away thinking, I'm not too bad at all. And then when a woman looks in the mirror, and she may actually be a fitness freak. She may be, you know, put together really well. And she looks in the mirror and says, oh, I'm not really that good, am I? And she can be quite deflated and walk away. Men, your wives, your wife needs to know that she, and she alone, is the one that you have eyes for. She needs to know that you are loyal to her, that you are fully in, that you are fully committed by your words and by your actions. That's how we need to be. Job 31:1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. You know what? That's got to be our motto. Not to look at any woman with lust. Unconditional love for your wife means that you have eyes for her and for her alone. Your marriage and your sexual purity in only having eyes for her has got to be a priority in your life. This is important. Okay, the last one we're going to look at is esteem. She wants you to honour and to cherish her. Have you ever been around a man who puts down his wife, or belittles or berates her? You know, I've been around men like that, and I can tell you, it makes my blood boil. And I've noticed that men that do this often have low self-esteem themselves. And they do anything that they can to try and make themselves feel or look good, even at the expense of their wife. This is not the way we should be treating something as special as a wife. To cherish someone means to love and protect them in every area. Too often, people either wait until a person is on their deathbed to tell them how they really feel about them. Or worse still, they tell the people at their funeral how much they thought of them. Men, why would we wait? Your wife would much rather hear what you feel and how you love them as they travel through life with you. Not at the very end. So can I encourage you to look for ways to let your wife know that you treasure her and that you value her as a person, not just because she is your wife. Look for ways to build her up, to praise her and encourage her in every aspect of her life. So in conclusion, I don't know where you are in your relationship with your wife, or women, your relationship with your husbands. But I pray that you have been encouraged to unconditionally, underlined, unconditionally love and respect in a far greater way than you ever have been before. Maybe there are things that you've learned or been challenged to put into practice even more than you do now. My prayer is that you do it for your spouse's benefit, but more importantly, for God's glory and your obedience. A great marriage is about your obedience to Jesus Christ and your obedience in unconditionally loving and respecting your spouse. You may have been thinking, gosh, I have failed so miserably in so many areas of my marriage or my obedience to God in this. Do you know what? Thankfully, God is a God of second chances, and he offers each of us forgiveness. He desires that we all have a marriage in the way that he has designed them to work, in the way that brings the most fulfillment and satisfaction to both parties. So where from here? Do you know what? I would encourage you to talk to the Lord. Ask him for his forgiveness where you have failed. Ask him for his help, his guidance in your marriage. You need to talk to your spouse about it. You need to seek their forgiveness and start a healthy dialogue without frustration, without anger, and have a dialogue where you can both sit down and talk. I'd also encourage, please come and talk to someone that you know that has a godly marriage. Do you know what? We want to help you in the journey of marriage. It is not easy all the time. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. because we need to be obedient to God and we need to be fulfilling what He tells us to be, becoming men and women who unconditionally give love and respect to our spouse. That is how it works well. I'm going to pray, and while I'm praying, the music team will come up and we're going to sing a last song. But we're going to be down here afterwards. You know, there's going to be a number of people milling around afterwards. If you'd like to come down and talk, maybe your marriage ain't in a good place. Or maybe it is in a good place. You just think, you know what, I just want to hit that 10. Please, come and talk. Let us pray. Let's encourage you. Because we want to honour God in the way that we honour and do our marriages. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we'd like to say thank you for today. Lord, we've covered a lot of stuff. But Father, I pray that as husbands and wives, Lord, as they obedient get down on their knees, Father, before you, I pray, Lord, that they would take up this mantle. They would take up, Father, the truth in being obedient to you in all areas. That we would give to our husbands or our wives the very best that we can. Father, that we would build them up and that we would encourage them. Father, that that would flow onto our children, that they would see how mum and dad do marriage, how biblically, how important you are in our lives. Father, Lord, we ask that that flow on effect is going to happen in our work situations, that people would come across with, Lord, because we cannot stop giving thanks to you for the woman or the man that you have blessed us with. Father, Lord, we would just like to say thank you for your amazing love. Father, we thank you that you've given us forgiveness. And Father, you can give us strength and contentment and help that we can do this well. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen.